Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Bravo Papers here for a very special Bravo bonus episode. It's me, your host, Emily, also known as Bravo and Botox, here to bring you a Kathy Hilton special. So I've done a few of these Richard Sisters episodes at this point. I think I've done four, and this is going to be our fifth installment, but there will be more. And one thing I have to say is that, you know, Kathy needs her own episodes because she's something, all right? And there's a lot to say. And now with Paris and Love out there and you know, Paris Hilton talking about more of her childhood trauma and stuff like that, it's like, how could we not talk about Kathy Hilton, right? And, you know, the news is that Kathy Hilton will be joining as a friend of for the new season of Beverly Hills. So I'm sure we're going to get even more Kathy Hilton content when that comes. Now, I have never been of the school of thought of like, you know, clutching my pearls when we see Kathy Hilton being like, a rich, entitled, bitchy, rich lady, you know. And people being like, she's not that goofy, you know, fun-loving woman she tries to portray herself as. She's actually a monster. Like, yeah, duh. I've always thought that. I'm like, of course she's a monster. That goes without saying, doesn't it? When you are that rich and that privileged and you were raised by Big Kathy, I mean, come on. Now, do I think she puts on like a little bit of a persona for the camera? Yeah, I do. But I think that everybody does that. I think that a person can have two sides to them. I think a person can have, you know, like they're a kind of goofy, silly side to them, and they can do or say dumb things sometimes. And then they can also have a rage issue and have a really angry, like, bitch side too. Like, no person is one thing, right? If that was true, you know, just humanity, we wouldn't be these like multifaceted, dynamic, kind of layered, complex people. And we are, right? So, you know, to me, it's not about like, is Kathy Hilton the goofy, silly girl that she portrays on BH, or is she like actually this monster? She's actually both. You know what I mean? I think she has a really troubled dark side, and I think she can be terrible, like absolutely terrible. But she probably has some fun sides to her as well. Now, does she choose to highlight those fun sides when there's a camera rolling? Of course. Of course. But then at the same time, you know, you watch Paris and Love, and she does show more of the other side. So, you know, you can make the argument that she's just, you know, she's more whatever when it comes to like maybe her daughters, or I don't know, or just, you know, it just depends on the situation, or because she's a, you know, quote unquote friend of on Beverly Hills, that we don't get as much of that, which I would say is probably true. And, you know, I would say the same thing about Kim and Kyle. Like, I think you can find examples of Kyle and Kim both being terrible. And I think you can find examples of them being much more sympathetic. And you can get examples of them being fun and funny. And, you know, I think all three of these sisters are troubled. I think they all have dark sides, different, maybe different types of dark sides. And they all have kind of those positive sides too, you know, and I do think they use like silliness and humor to mask a lot of things, right? And I think sometimes when the three of them are together, sort of the worst can be brought out because, you know, the three of them kind of grew up together with this sort of like battleground where they're like pitted against each other when it comes to like, you know, who's getting the most love from their mom or like whatever the case is. And there's just like this inherent competitiveness that's so toxic, right? So, you know, I think all three of them have good and bad about them. I don't think any of them are quote unquote like purely good or purely bad people. Now, in terms of like who you might prefer as an individual of the three, you know, a lot of that's going to be just personal preference, right? Like who does things or has personality traits or quirks that might trigger you more, right? You know, for me, I feel, and this is just my opinion, that Kyle is the worst at taking accountability and likes to, you know, she's always feeling sorry for herself and plays victim a lot. Not saying Kim and Kathy don't also do that, but I think it's just because Kyle's on my TV so much. It feels like she does it more. Maybe she doesn't in real life. Maybe the other two do it more, but it's hard for me to say because they're just not on my fucking TV as much, right? So I have to just go by what I have viewed. And I viewed a lot of Kyle doing that. So she, you know, starts to irk me after some time. Again, it doesn't mean she's like an evil person. And then somebody else might be like, well, no, Kim triggers me or Kathy triggers me because maybe someone in my family has like a rage problem and, you know, they try to put on a certain face, you know, but behind closed doors, they're different. Like, who knows, right? Everybody is going to have maybe, you know, someone who they, you know, a sister that they might, I guess, prefer over the others. But listen, at the end of the day, I don't think any of us look at these three sisters and think that any of them are like someone to look up to or to admire in like a hero type of way. Like these are not people that I aspire to be like or anything like that, but I do find them very interesting. I do have sympathy for them, like I said, because of what they've been through and their childhood and their mother. And I just, you know, like I've said, I just find them fascinating and their relationship dynamics fascinating. And I think we can learn so much about like just human behavior and things by watching them and see how they cope with all the issues they've been through. And I think a lot of the issues that they've been through are things that a lot of us can connect to, you know, like competitiveness with siblings, or, you know, when you get older and you start reflecting more about the way your parents raised you, and maybe you start seeing more clearly some of the mistakes that they've made. And then you kind of sometimes get to that phase where you have some sympathy for your parents because you see, you know, how they didn't always know what they were doing. Or in some cases, you might have a parent who did know what they were doing and, you know, it's a really toxic situation. So it's just, there's a lot of things that I think we can all relate to. And every time I do one of these episodes, I would say like the majority of the messages or feedback I get is always somebody who can relate to like some sort of dynamic, usually something that they've been through with their own sister or sibling or mother or something like that. And that's why they can relate to like one of these women in some way or whatever the case is. So yeah, I'm not here to like, you know, saying I'm like pulling the veil off and you know, we're all going to see the true Kathy. You know, I think the true Kathy is maybe not as crazy as we kind of want her to be. You know, I think she's like the other two, she's a troubled person. And that's what we're going to see, a troubled person who handles difficult things and conflict the best way she knows how, which is not a great way. That's really a lot of what we're going to see. And I think she is somebody who has, you know, trouble dealing with anger to this day. You know, I think she watched how her mom did it, and I think she is still emulating that, unfortunately. Okay, so let's get into it. We are going to start with Paris in Love, season one. So I don't know if I'll get through all of season one in this episode. I'll do probably not because I have 9 pages of notes, which is a lot. So I'll probably do 2 episodes or, you know, split it into 2 episodes, then go into Paris in Love season 2. And, you know, I will also be talking about the sort of introduction to House of Hilton where they just talk about Kathy and how she raised Paris. Because as I was saying in my last weekly news episode, if you listen to that, I didn't talk about that because it just, I was more about like the sisters and the sister dynamic. So here we're kind of thinking about, you know, Kathy a little bit more. So if you haven't watched Paris in Love and you're going to listen to this without watching it, which you totally can do because, you know, I'm going to give you all the Kathy stuff. If, you know, I think a lot of people listening, if you were interested in Paris Hilton, you would just watch it, right? But if you're really just interested in Kathy, you might be like, eh, I don't want to watch the whole thing. So you can, you totally will be able to follow. Basically, what's going on is, as the title might suggest, Paris Hilton is quote unquote in love and she's getting married. Okay, pretty much the whole season is about, you know, the planning and lead up to her wedding, which we did see kind of talked about a little bit on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills when, you know, Kyle opens the invitation. Of course, as soon as the camera's up, she's like, oh my God, look at this invitation. So yeah, we're going to see the wedding. It's the lead up to the wedding. And, you know, a lot of this season ends up being about Kathy. Because Kathy is that like mother who wants to be the bride and who is like obsessed with planning the wedding and being a part of it. And she's very controlling about the way that it is and how it's going to reflect on her. And listen, and again, I know a lot of people who had moms like this when they were planning their wedding. Mine was not, because my mom is very chill. But I knew a lot of people who had moms or mothers-in-law that were like just like this. So, you know, I think it is so relatable. And I don't think that Kathy, like on camera, does anything that I would say is like I haven't seen in real life. That's like, you know, the kind of behavior that sort of comes out of people when it comes to weddings, because people can act like absolute psychopaths when they're planning weddings, brides included. Now, Paris, it's a little different because she doesn't seem that, like, she's not like a bride, you know, like she is, but she's not. You can tell she's more focused on kind of her brand than the wedding itself. The other thing is that Paris in this season one is talking about a lot of the abuse that she suffered when she went to a boarding school is what they called it, when she was a teenager, that her parents sent her to. And she was abused at this boarding school, humiliated, all this other stuff, which we'll get into as the recap goes. So those are really the two focuses of the documentary. Okay. Again, I'm not going to talk about Paris a lot because this is really, you know, we're here to talk about Kathy. So in season one, like one of the first things that I thought was so funny because it reminded me so much of Kathy and Kyle is Kathy makes her first appearance in Paris in Love in like, I think it's either the first or second episode. And she's comes over to Paris's house and she's like, you're never around. I need to be kept in the loop. Like she basically is talking to her about wedding planning and just like contacting her in general. And it really reminded me of Kathy and Kyle. And I was like, it seems like a lot of people avoid Kathy. Like Paris seems to avoid her. Kyle seems to avoid her. It's like she's, you know, she's difficult to deal with. She's not like a low maintenance type of person. I also get the impression that like she's not great with like texting. She might want to talk on the phone. And, you know, sometimes if you're someone who like me, I hate talking on the phone. Sometimes when my parents call, I'm like, oh God, okay, can you just text me? Because it's usually just like something quick. But, you know, you kind of get that impression, right? And you can tell Paris, you know, I think Paris kind of avoids Kathy for the same reasons that Kyle does, the same basic reason, which is that they've both had difficulties with her in the past for very different reasons, but they've both had difficulties and sometimes it's easier to just avoid. So Nikki actually gives Paris, so Nikki Hilton, in case you don't know that, Nikki gives Paris like a pep talk about how, you know, this is her wedding day. that's coming. She has to stay strong in that. And then Kathy, so Kathy's in the kitchen with Paris and she sees this tray. It's like a decorative Hermes tray and it's got like all this stuff on it. And Kathy's like in the middle of talking and she stops and she's like, wait, excuse me. This was my gift to Carter. This is a beautiful Hermes tray that does not belong in the kitchen with a bunch of candles on it. I thought he'd use that in his office with water. And Paris gets so like finicky when she hears that. Like she's like, well, he didn't do this, you know? And she's like, and Kathy's like, well, who did? Does he know? I'll just take it back. Like starts like threatening to return it. And Paris is like, no, he loves it, but he didn't know what. And then she kind of cuts herself off and she seems so nervous. And then Paris starts just like frantically taking everything off of it, like almost in a panic. And Kathy remarks that it's Hermes and they're really hard to get and he should take it to the beach, which I thought was like the weirdest suggestion. Maybe I just don't understand rich people and their Hermes trays. I don't know. And that he shouldn't have anything on it, you know? So like, I think Kathy felt like, you know, oh, I got him this beautiful, rare gift and he doesn't give a shit about it. Someone just threw a bunch of candles on it. And then Paris is like, she's so rattled by this. So that was to me kind of telling. It's like, she's so rattled, just like that her mom could be upset about something. Now, I do think that it's like, she wants her mom to like Carter. And at this point in the series, you know, Kathy is still kind of, she seems like she likes Carter, but there's some things about him that like irk her, basically. So, you know, so it's like pretty much, you know, season one, episode one, and we do kind of see this sort of bitchier, more controlling side of Kathy. Again, you know, she kind of throws a little guilt trip in here, you know, like, oh, well, if he doesn't like it, I'll just take it back. Like, you know, which I don't want to like stereotype, but a lot of moms do that. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but a lot of moms do guilt trips, don't they? I try not to as a mom, but I've been on the receiving end of it. So Paris says, you know, he didn't do that. And Kathy's like, well, who did that? And is like really annoyed. Like, I couldn't believe how long they talked about this stupid tray. It was unreal. And Paris is like, I don't know, the housekeepers. And then they get interrupted by the house manager, thank God, because I don't know where this was going. But it, listen, this is just one of those little things that I noticed and I thought was interesting. Their dynamic is like, Paris is constantly annoyed at Kathy, but then also seems fearful of Kathy and like she wants her approval. And then at the same time, she wants her approval, yet avoids her a lot. And you can tell that Nikki is kind of like the golden child. Like Nikki's like talks to her mom all the time. They seem to have like a good relationship and Nikki kind of like did everything right. And, you know, I think, you know, Paris still views herself as like kind of like the fuck up one. But then on the other side, it's like she's gained so much like fame and notoriety. And we know Kathy loves fame and Kathy loves a camera. So, okay. So then they go to try on dresses and Kathy reassures Paris that she's worth it, like having a nice guy. And Kathy says in her confessional, so Kathy does have confessionals for this show as well. She says that, you know, Paris has been disappointed before. So it's hard, you know, not to get paranoid that maybe it's not going to work. But she thinks that this time Paris has chosen correctly. So Paris tells her fiance Carter that Kathy calls him Groomzilla, but he feels like they just procrastinate and they don't get anything done. So basically one of the biggest conflicts of this season is that the man that Paris is engaged to, he's very involved in like planning the wedding, or at least he wants to be very involved. He also feels like, and I think he's actually right about this because I don't get the best vibes from him. Like, I'm not a big fan of him. He's like, I find him to be like a bit creepy. I don't know. I don't know why, but he is right about this. Kathy and Paris, like, they just seem like very scattered, and they also seem like they get distracted so easily. Like, they see something shiny and suddenly they're like, ooh, and they're like having a different conversation, especially Paris sometimes, you know. And I think Paris, like, keeps her life so busy so that she doesn't have to stop and think about, like, maybe some of the traumas she's endured, some of the stuff that she's been through. But yeah, so Kathy, on the other hand, is very like, I'm the mom, I'm the mother on the mother of the bride. I'm the one who should be like running this wedding. Like, who is this guy? Why does he feel like he has any say? Which is funny because, like, he's a groom, but I guess Kathy kind of lives in the world of like, grooms don't care, you know, like grooms like shouldn't care about like all like the flowers and the invitation, you know what I mean? But he's kind of like, if you don't procrastinate, you're not, if you keep procrastinating, you and your mom and like humming and hawing about every choice, it'll never get done. Now, I also think he has ulterior motives for speeding along the wedding, because I think he's worried that Paris is gonna be like a runaway bride, because, you know, she's had other engagements that haven't gone through, and you can tell he's kind of insecure. So I think he's just trying to get her down the aisle, to be honest, as ASAP. And you know what? He's not wrong for fearing that, because later there is an episode where she has like a full breakdown about like if she should marry this guy. Okay, so Paris talks about how her parents, when she was growing up, were so strict. She wasn't allowed to date. She couldn't wear makeup. She wasn't allowed to go out. And it just made her rebel. She used to climb out the window to sneak out. Paris also snuck out of the Waldorf where they lived. Their parents told them they can see them through security cameras in their room so that they wouldn't, but Paris still did it. So this was where I was a little like, huh, interesting. Because, you know, by all accounts, if I'm remembering correctly, you know, in House of Hilton, they talk about like Kathy and Rick having no control over their children. And they kind of make it out like Kathy and Rick were not strict and were just kind of expecting like the hotel to sort of look after their kids. So one of two things could be happening. One is that House of Hilton is inaccurate in that sense, because obviously it's, you know, an unauthorized type of biography about these people. It's not facts, obviously. It's someone's perception, or it's people's perceptions of the family and their dynamics, people who knew them, whatever. So that could have just been like somebody who worked at the hotel and their perception. They might not have known like what was going on behind closed doors. So that's one option. Another option is that, you know, they were not that strict, but Paris, because she was so privileged and grew up so privileged, even like the most reasonable or, you know, slightest of rules seemed extreme. You know what I mean? Like, your parents telling you that you can't go out gallivanting around New York, you know, at a young age, like, that's pretty, like, I wouldn't call that strict. And like, yes, she wasn't allowed to date. Okay, so how old were you when you wanted to date? Maybe you were too young. A lot of people aren't allowed to date until they're like 16 or whatever. Like, it really just, you know, it's kind of about perception. So that could be it. Or it could be that Kathy and Rick were strict. They were very strict. And then at some point, they just lost control of Paris. So again, we don't know for sure. So Kathy and Paris meet to discuss the wedding, and they do discuss how they procrastinate. And Kathy wants Paris to get married in the family church. Paris mentions that Carter was on the phone with the head of the Dorchester group, and Kathy gets like all upset, you know, says Ed is her good friend. We lived at that hotel. Why is Carter doing that? Why is he worried about that? You know, and then Paris says, well, Carter plans things because he says that you and I procrastinate. And Kathy says, okay, so he's gone ahead and called the Beverly Hills Hotel. I'm the mother of the bride. And then Kathy does her octopus line, which we saw her do it on Beverly Hills in a very different way. I don't know what it is, why Kathy has such a thing about the octopus analogy, but I remember I think it was the butler who came over and asked her about something, and she was already holding things and she's like, I'm not an octopus. But in this case, she's using it kind of as an insult against someone. And she's like, you know, Kathy says he's an octopus, Carter, the groom. He's got his hands in everything. And Kathy says Paris doesn't understand that, you know, it's supposed to be the mother of the bride who plans everything. And she says Carter made save the dates without telling her and that they're hideous and he wasted his time. Kathy then says they'll meet with a wedding planner alone. And she says it like, this is my wedding too. She pretty much says that. She's like, you know, this is like her wedding too. And she says she's writing the checks. So that is one thing. You know, it's like, she is paying for the wedding. So that is a big thing. And the other thing is that she's very touchy about feeling left out of things. Like, she doesn't want Carter to go ahead and she doesn't want Carter and Paris like to plan things without her. You can tell there's a thing of like, you know, she doesn't like to be avoided. She doesn't like feeling like out of the loop, you know, and I think we see that a bit with her relationship with Kyle too. You know, like she's like, you know, you're avoiding me and da da da, like you're impossible to get in touch with, like that kind of thing, right? So, and you know, Kathy's very like, she wants tradition. Kathy is very like, the image of the family matters a lot to her. Like, I think she feels she has something to prove, you know, and maybe because her upbringing was not, you know, she's not like a blue blood type of upbringing, you know, like Big Kathy. Yeah. She like married a couple like wealthy guys or whatever, like we talked about on the other Richard Sisters deep dives from the book and stuff, but you know, they weren't like a well-to-do, like high-class family. And, you know, the Hiltons are. And one thing I remember is that, you know, it was sort of like Big Kathy was kind of almost like an embarrassment. And, you know, Kathy kind of kept her away from the Hiltons. You know, they weren't a big fan of her because, you know, and I think Kathy, Big Kathy kind of obliged because she wanted to make sure that her daughter could like seal the deal and get into this rich family, right? And there is a part of it that feels like in this documentary that Kathy is still like trying to, you know, earn that role and sort of like, you know, fulfill that role, you know, and kind of maintain that certain like persona. And maybe that's why the, you know, attempts to control Paris were so extreme. So yeah. So, and I think that kind of translates to the wedding too, because I think Kathy thinks like, this wedding reflects me as well. Like, it doesn't, you know, like if Paris did this wedding on her own, it would be like neon colors and like crazy, right? Because Paris wants everything like pink and fluorescent, and like she likes all this kitschy stuff, and Kathy's really trying to like rein that in. So yeah, so Kathy says he's an octopus, and then she says, how do you think it makes me look and feel when the son-in-law has already called the Beverly Hills Hotel? He only moved here 2 years ago. So yeah, so that's the other thing, is that, you know, Kathy knows people at the hotel. So again, she's like, this looks bad on me. Like, why am I not calling? Like, it's all about that. And you can tell Carter, like, he just doesn't know this. He's just trying to get shit done. So Paris explains that basically he's afraid she's going to run, which I thought was interesting that Paris kind of knows that Carter has that fear. Yeah, I thought that was very interesting. And she's like, yeah, he thinks I'm going to run. And then Kathy's like, well, he needs to chill. So in confessional, Paris is like, it's my wedding, you know, and then in Kathy's confessional, she says it's her wedding too, a little bit. So clearly, you know, they have a different perception of this, but it does seem like Paris is pretty realistic about how involved her mom wants to be. So then later, Mindy, who is the wedding planner, Mindy and Paris lie to Kathy about Carter having met with Mindy the day before to plan things about the hotel. Because they know if Kathy finds out, she's going to be mad. So listen, there's a lot of tiptoeing around Kathy. Okay. There's a lot of like lies being told, like, or like lies by omission or little white lies, like just to kind of keep Kathy's emotions at bay. We don't ever see her like have like a full, you know, meltdown, you know, throwing her glasses and stomping up and down on them like Lisa Rinna described. But do I think she's capable of that? Yeah, behind closed doors, but I don't think she's going to be doing that on camera anytime soon. So then we move on to Paris's documentary. So if you don't know, Paris made a documentary about what she went through at this boarding school called Provo. She says that, you know, basically she was out of control as a teen. And her parents sent her to this really strict boarding school that turned out to actually be abusive. She goes out with her brother. Her brother asks if she got, you know, closure from her mom and dad, because now she's, you know, she's making this documentary. She's made it. She's speaking more openly about what happened at this school. But she says, basically, her parents just don't want to think about it. So that's why they didn't talk about it for 20 years. She said, whenever she brings it up, Kathy changes the subject, which is pretty wild. Like, this family can really, really sweep things under the rug. To me, this is partly a result of Big Kathy, because, I mean, it is somewhat like, I think it's a little bit cultural, like when you get like, you know, like super rich white people, you know, like WASPs or whatever, who tend to like sweep things under the rug and not talk about their emotions or whatever. But it's also, it's very Big Kathy, because I think Big Kathy, it seems like, was like, you know, and what we've heard Kyle say and Kim say, that she was like explosive with her temper, and that, and Kyle even said on the most recent season that in her home, there was, you know, yelling and conflict and chaos, right? And we have definitely seen, you know, that spoken about by, you know, multiple people who were interviewed for the House of Hilton book. It seems like Kim and Kathy have kind of confirmed that. So, you know, it seems like that explosive kind of toxic environment, it really like manifested itself in different ways for the three girls, right? Like for Kyle, it's like, you know, Kyle tries to like just like keep things positive and like, you know, make sure everything's like happy, calm, like not a lot of yelling in her house, etc. You know, they try to talk about things in a calm way, like that kind of thing. It's not like screaming and name calling, like that doesn't happen. But then we see how like, you know, bearing that deep down, it does cause Kyle to have these like emotional breakdowns where she will sometimes just, you know, she'll be bawling her eyes out and it's like she can't even stop, right? And then we've seen how like burying emotions manifests itself in addiction with Kim. And then we see with Kathy, it's this like very put on, you know, happy kind of silly face. And then, you know, every once in a while, it's a Big Kathy like explosion in private, right? Which is, I think, what Paris and a lot of these other people are scared of. Right. So, yeah, it is pretty fucked that that happens. And it is so fucked up. Like, I just can't imagine my daughter coming to me wanting to talk about the abuse or whatever that we know she went through and me changing the subject. Like, to me, that is just, that's crazy. It is so crazy. And it is such like a next level, you know, form of denial and sweeping things under the rug. It's just, it's wild. So Paris says basically she has not had like a sit down with her parents, and then her brother Baron suggests that she does, but she says, well, mom doesn't like talking about things and doesn't like to get serious and is just like wants to be fun and chill, and she doesn't like to think about bad things. And then Paris is like, I don't want to like kill her vibe. So it does seem like Kathy, this comes up quite a few times in Paris and Love, that Kathy's like, I just think it's nice when like people are just having fun and laughing, and like she really buries things, which again, that's probably why she does have these explosions, because when you are like, she might actually be having fun, being silly and having a laugh and all this stuff in life and, you know, being the kooky Kathy that we kind of saw in Beverly Hills. But when you're doing that all the time, even when you are faced with real issues, you are going to have an explosion. You are going to be like a volcano, right? So Paris says they feel bad, her parents, and they regret sending her to the school. But they don't really know like the details of what she went through because they didn't watch the documentary. Which again, like, can you imagine your child making a documentary about their abuse and you not watching it? In one way, I can imagine not, like, I can imagine being scared to watch it because, like, the fear of hearing those details, etc. But then on the other side, I can't imagine not watching it because then how are you going to be there for your child and talk to them and comfort them if you're not watching it? Like, you have to watch it. Like, yeah, it's going to be scary. You're going to feel scared. But, like, it's just crazy to me that she hadn't watched it at this point. Paris says she does just want to talk about it and then hopefully kind of let things go. Like, that's her goal. So in another scene, Paris and Kathy are driving to church to see the priest. And Kathy starts rolling down her windows. She says hi to people and she just loves it. And Paris is more embarrassed, but she laughs. And Kathy's always wearing that bag, like that bag. She was wearing it on Beverly Hills too, that like, I don't know what it is, like straw bag, and it says be kind on it, which I just think is kind of funny. Kathy like really tries to open the church door and she even tries the lock. Like, she's like, just little things like that are so like, you know, just those like the rich lady syndrome, you know, like, no, this church isn't going to be closed for me. I'll be unlocking it. I'm going in. So Kathy, while they're walking around the church, tells Paris that, you know, her and Groomzilla's happiness is all she cares about, but still like kind of throwing a little dig at Carter with the Groomzilla comment. And then Kathy suggests that they talk to the owners about just having white flowers in their garden. She's literally wanting them to pull the flowers out of the garden that aren't white. Like, they have this beautiful garden and yeah. So they have this beautiful garden and she's like, maybe they could just have white flowers. Like, literally, they're going to redo their garden. Like, come on. Just again, just that, the lock, it's like, it's next level. So Kathy starts talking about how she was to Paris about how people kept putting like the goat emoji on her Instagram and she didn't know what it meant. But Paris explains it to her and then she like loves it. And Paris says before she was on Beverly Hills, she was actually a lot more reserved. And now she's more, quote unquote, on fire. You know, and then they show Kathy coming in, like in another scene with like a red juicy jumpsuit. And Paris says, you know, because of that, she's just become more like fun, silly, funny herself. So I could see that. Like, I could see what Paris is saying, like, you know, before she was kind of stuck in the, you know, I've got to be a Hilton and I've got to be like proper and I've got to whatever. And then, you know, I got on Beverly Hills, people kind of saw like the silly side of me. And, you know, maybe also like some of the older, more like uptight Hiltons have, like, I don't want to mean this to sound bad, but like they've probably died. So she's not dealing with that as much as with their judgment as much. So she's probably like, you know, like, fuck it. Everybody loves it. They think my silliness is fun. So I am going to lean more into that. And that probably is a part of her because I do think that these sisters also, like, you see, Kyle does it too. She like puts on those voices and you know, Kyle likes to like joke around and have fun. Like, again, like I said, they have like a bad side to them, but I do think they have like a fun side as well. Paris says, you know, sorry. I skipped back by accident. So Kathy says, as a joke, that she's the one who invented Juicy and she's the OG Juicy girl. And she starts to like dance around in the Juicy sweatsuit. Then Kathy in her confessional talks about how she got married very young. She had no family members around. She had to be a certain way because it was like the Hiltons. And she became a very closed person for a long time, which, again, exactly what I was just saying, makes sense. She says now she feels free to like be herself, which that could also be why a lot of like toxicity is coming out. Like, she's had so much bottled up for so long, not just because of like how she was raised by Big Kathy, but also getting married young into the Hilton family, etc. And, you know, it is kind of like implied, like both Rick's parents are dead. So yeah, you can be a little bit more free. Like she doesn't say that, but we can put two and two together. Okay. So Nikki and Paris say their mom has turned into like a pop culture icon because of R-H-O-B-H, which I'm sure Kyle just loves. And they believe she is herself and that she's hysterical. So clearly, like, listen, I don't think they're lying. I think that is a real side of her, because they just as much call her out for her other side in this series, which is that she can get really mad and she can be mean or whatever. I mean, they don't say it like as direct as that, but it's strongly implied. Where was I? They even talk about how up until recently, Kathy didn't know how to use a microwave. She would like send a text message to ask about it. And it was really funny to see her go live on IG and like not know what was going on. And like, you know, she's not the best with like social media and technology, but she tries. So, you know, all the stuff that we kind of saw. I do think going on Beverly Hills was like, seems like it was a turning point for her. Maybe that's what made her also, you know, come on Paris in Love and be a little bit more like open about stuff with her family. Because when you do have the older generation gone or, you know, whatever, it does give you a little bit more freedom to talk about things. Nikki says Kathy and Paris both do the baby voice and she finds it so annoying. We all know the baby voice that Paris does. And Kathy does do it too sometimes, not as much as Paris, but she says she basically does it when she's going to ask for something. But, you know, Paris does it more, I think, to hide like behind her like persona, whereas Kathy seems like it's more just to be silly. You know, Paris seems to do it for a much more like dark reason that, again, you know, they just kind of they imply things later, like, you know, she's trying to like create this persona and like have this like fun, you know, type, what's it called, this fun identity that I think can like distract her from what she went through when she was younger, which is the abuse at that school. And also, like, spoiler alert, you know, and trigger warning, because we know she does talk about in season two that she was also raped as a teenager, and that was what kind of led to the wild behavior, and then the wild behavior led to the boarding school. So it was just like a really bad cycle. So Nikki says, Kathy says Paris does the baby voice when she's shy, and she remembers hearing her first do it when she was a little girl. Paris says she feels her mom has always been concerned about projecting a perfect life. Yes. And that she's changed a lot in the past year, and she doesn't care what anyone thinks. And that's the side, you know, that Paris really loves, because she does have a silly, fun side, and she's happy that Kathy is showing it more. So, yeah, like, we get that. I think Kathy was concerned about showing like a more prim and proper type of persona. And now she's cool with like expressing her fun, silly side, as Paris said. However, I think, like Kyle, she still doesn't want to show, you know, the kind of like the raw family issues. You know, like, I think Kathy has her moments on camera in this season, getting mad at Paris or being upset with her and Carter, but I think the real anger is saved for off camera. And I think Kyle does that too, except she does it with, like, you know, her marriage issues. Like, I think she saves like the real shit for off, which, fine, I'm sure they all do that to a point. But I do think that these women still, like, even when Kim brings up stuff about Big Kathy in the kitchen to Kyle last season, there was still like this, you know, Kyle even said in an interview, like, oh, I didn't really want Kim to bring that up on camera. Like, they have such an issue, like, just trying to project anything but like this perfect family. You know, it's funny because Kyle and Kathy are like, the more I think about it, the more they're quite similar in a lot of ways. They just have a different, you know, status or persona to protect. Like, Kyle's more like the new money, you know what I mean? And Kathy's more like the old money. That's so funny. They're like the new and old money. Okay. So where was I? So Paris says she would like to eventually have twins. And then Kathy gives her kind of a reality check about how hard that is. And Paris says that she's going to have to learn how to balance, you know, becoming a mom, and says she feels like she can't work and also be a mom. And Kathy says, well, it's different nowadays. You know, women work. Kathy also said, well, you know, we also learn that Kathy had signed a recording contract and has a beautiful voice. But then she had Paris, so she couldn't pursue it. Which I was kind of surprised about. I was like, so you married Rick and then you signed a recording contract. Like, I would just think like getting married to a Hilton, you know, the expectation would be that you're not going to be a singer or not. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, or maybe she was pregnant when she walked down the aisle. I don't know. I have no idea. But anyways, probably not. But Kathy says, you know, it's different nowadays. And you know, she says that she also believes in like taking kids everywhere with you, and that when she had the girls, she took them everywhere. She says, you know, even going on the two girls trips for RHOBH, those were really the only times where she's really been away from Rick. So, you know, she says like, we as a family, we traveled everywhere together. Paris is like, yeah, you know, you had me at age 19. And Kathy was always very reserved, acting a certain way. And she's like, you know, now she's living it up. So that's like the second time we've heard that. So yeah, it seems like Kathy is really coming out of her shell in her older age. Not that she's like old, but you know what I mean? So on another day, Kathy comes over to Paris's house with some organization people. So they are people who are like professional organizers. And she tells them Paris is a collector and just has too much stuff, too many knickknacks. She asked them to clean it up. And they're like, well, is she okay with this? Because she's not there, guys. She's not home. So this is like a very, you know, Kathy's like, I know best, right? So Paris is annoyed because she's like, I told my mom not to go to the house. Paris realizes, when she gets there that Kathy gave one of the organizers a White Claw and they didn't know it was alcohol. Maybe Paris is there, but she didn't know that they were coming. Either way, intrusive. So she gave one of them a White Claw, which is so, see, this is why I do think, like, I don't think Kathy's like faking that she was drinking a Red Bull and thought it was like a Diet Coke or whatever. Like, I really think she's like out to lunch, but that doesn't mean she can't also have a mean side. You know what I mean? So they go into the garage. It is like a storage unit times 1,000. Like, you know, those huge storage units you go to and everyone has those lockers or whatever. It's like, that's like Paris has that just for her own shit. And it is completely full to the ceiling with crap, in my opinion. She says she has a storage unit as well. Like, in addition to what she has stored, like in her house, she has a storage unit that's like the size of Costco. This is where, like, with these rich people, I just stop and I'm like, what's the point? What's the point of having all this stuff if you don't even know what you have and you have to keep it in storage units? Like, when do you ever enjoy it? Like, when do you ever use it or even see it? It's not even like on your shelves or on display. Like, it's literally, I guess I can understand for clothes to a degree, but this, and you know, I can understand keeping some sentimental things, but you cannot tell me that you have a Costco size warehouse full of sentimental things. No one is ever going to convince me of that. Okay. So Paris wants to keep everything, basically. Kathy is, I agree with her in this case. She's like, let's donate it or give it to people who can actually use it. And Kathy wants to like empty her bookshelf, put all her collectibles in there instead, get rid of the books. She's kind of like, do you read? So Paris says she has trouble saying no to her mom. And everyone, to be fair. She does say she has trouble saying no to everyone, but she does say she has trouble saying no to her mom. And you can tell Paris does not like this and she's very attached to stuff. So this is really like getting to her. But you can also see that she really cannot stand up to her mom, which, Yeah, you can tell, like, you can tell, you know, Kathy's like, she runs the show. She's got a lot of power in this family. And it's like, you know, the very like matriarch vibes, like powerful matriarch vibes, just like she does with Kim and Kyle. I always feel like she's the leader of the group. So Kathy says, you know, Paris has to grow up. She's not a little girl anymore. And she thinks it might be because of sending her to the boarding school because she didn't have any of her stuff with her, which I thought that was quite an astute observation, Kathy. Kathy shows up days later with a team to do the organizing and the books, and Paris's assistant. Oh yeah, this is where Paris is not here. It's just Paris's assistant. And she is like, Paris is not here. And Kathy's like, well, you know, if I don't start this, it'll never get done. The assistant is so nervous. Like the assistant is like, I'm going to get fucking fired. Paris is going to kill me. And Kathy's like, don't worry. She can kill me. I'm the mom. Mom knows best. Like she just goes ahead. And then Paris calls Kathy and she's like, I told you not to come when I'm not there. And she's like really mad. And Kathy gets a call from her assistant who says she got an aggressive text from Paris and thinks it might be a good idea to wrap it up and come back another time when Paris is home. Kathy gets a call from, I guess Paris's assistant, another assistant who calls. So it's just funny to me that Paris has to have her assistant call. Like Paris is mad, but she gets her assistant to call Kathy, which I just think is funny. Like it's like they have such trouble being directly angry or like confronting each other. Like they will, but they find the, and being rich gives you the privilege because you can hire someone to call your mom and tell your mom that you're mad or to like shoot off an email or whatever. Right. So Kathy's like, yeah, but she's going to be so happy when she sees it. And the assistant is like, yeah, but she's very upset. Kathy just kind of like brushes it off. And Kathy says, you know, they'll wrap up because they've already done so much and Paris will love it. So then we get to one of the biggest conflicts of the season, which is picking out invitations for this wedding. This is like really like rich people problems here. But Paris picks this like pink acrylic invite and Kathy gives a hard and serious no, not for a wedding. Kathy says it should be like the wedding should be very White House Buckingham Palace, whereas Paris wants modern and pink, which like that makes more sense for Paris Hilton. Like I was really shocked when I saw Paris Hilton's wedding and her wedding dress. I was like, this does not suit her at all. And it's not like she's Nikki who like married a Rothschild, like where you have to have that type of wedding. Like I actually kind of thought Kathy was wrong in this case. Like I was really like, you should have let her have a wedding that suited her more. Like this does not suit her. Kathy says she doesn't even like, you know, planning details. Like by she means Paris. So they, the like invitation people, ask, you know, who to call. And when it comes to like confirming details and stuff, and Paris says Carter, but Kathy interjects and she's like, nope, I'm the mother of the bride. So if you have an issue, you contact me. And she's like very control-y. Kathy says Paris is the baby. And, you know, sometimes people put bees in the baby's bonnet and upset the baby. And Paris is annoyed. So I guess Kathy's kind of like, well, Carter and other people, they interfere and they're like bees in the baby's bonnet and then the baby gets upset. So it's like, you know, Kathy like wants Paris to grow up, but then she also calls her a baby and she kind of does treat her like a child. Like she's not letting her make a lot of her own choices for her wedding. She's not having her letting her have a lot of agency in her wedding. You know, and she a lot of it is more about her than it is about Paris. So this is one of those situations where I'm like, you know, I can kind of see why there's so much conflict between Kathy and Kyle because, you know, Kyle's also the quote unquote baby of the family. And you could tell that Kathy probably feels like, you know, she knows better and, you know, even like probably in terms of like marrying Mauricio. Like, I think one of the reasons they have a better relationship now is because Kathy's like, see, took her 25 years, but I was right. Mauricio's trash, you know? So I could just see that. So Kathy has lunch with Paris and Carter, and Kathy says she needs to invite 75 people to the wedding, which, you know, I have to be honest, I didn't think that was crazy just because this is like a Hilton wedding. So to me, I was like, yeah, duh, of course Kathy and Rick are going to invite 75 people. And then so is Paris, right? Like, but Paris wants her wedding small, which fine. And she's annoyed because it's her wedding. Although, to be fair, you know, because as much as I want to be like, you know, Kathy's being the overbearing mother-in-law, you know, Paris has her bratty moments too, because like those 75 people are all family. So I'm kind of like, okay, you have to give a little bit. Like, I understand you're the bride, etc., but she is paying, and you are, like, at the end of the day, you are Paris Hilton. You do have to invite like the family tree people. Like, you just, I don't know. There are some moments watching this where I can see Paris's side, but there are moments I can also see Kathy's side. Okay, so Carter says he has so many investors and people who work with him, so they have to figure that out because they have to be invited. And Kathy is like super annoyed at this because she has made it clear from the beginning. You know, she's like, I've made it clear that Paris and I will plan the wedding. You know, and but I will not put my nose into the carnival or the Saturday night dinner, because they're having like, you know, like a 4-day event, and there's going to be a day where they have like this, like, you know, kind of rave-ish carnival thing. Sorry. And then I hiccuped. And then there's like a Saturday night dinner. So Carter concedes that, you know, okay, the two women are in charge of the guest list. He will not, you know, interfere with that. So another day, Kathy is feeling a little shocked because they had gone to look at invitations together. And she thought that they would be seeing something, you know, and then making a decision. And next thing she knows, she gets a bill that's crazy. And she finds out that, well, according to her, it's crazy. And she finds out that Carter and Paris went ahead and did it themselves. And she's very upset because she wasn't included and she didn't even get to see it. And then Kathy says, like, you know, I don't think it was Paris, because she wouldn't do that. It was Carter. So, you know, she's ready to deflect the blame, because I think, again, first of all, it's easier to fight with Carter because he's not her daughter, and they don't have all those like rolled up, pent up issues, especially with like the documentary coming out and the abuse. And I think Kathy has all sorts of guilt about that. So it's easy to just be like, oh, the groomzilla is like, you know, he's getting too involved. But Kathy does say that she's hurt, but she's going to sleep on it instead of just calling Paris, because she doesn't want to stress Paris out. She also says, and I thought this was very interesting, she says, if I don't sleep on it, I'll lash out. So yeah, it seems like she does have a, you know, proclivity for lashing out at people when something doesn't go her way, or, you know, people don't do it the way that she wants it done. Which, totally, we could see that, right? Which, again, like, is it not becoming so clear why, you know, Mauricio leaving, you know, Rick's real estate group or whatever and starting the agency, like, that's not the way that Kathy would want it done, right? And she would be like, well, you know, we gave my brother-in-law this job and this opportunity, and now he's, like, taking off and he's going to become a competitor, and you know, they're going to be like, what the fuck? Like, what's with your sister and her husband? Like, it looks bad on her. And she's always been trying to be so, like, perfect and to fit in with the Hiltons. Like, I could just see, you know, Kathy kind of wanting to control things and not liking when something is done that may reflect badly on her. Even though this is something so small, like an invitation, you know, that's part of it. It is still a thing, right? So Kathy says her and Nikki, you know, got closer when Nikki got married. She says with Paris, it's different. Like, Paris, they're not having that, like, closeness. And she's sad about it. So again, it really seems like Nikki is, like, kind of the quote unquote, like, easy daughter who's just, like, goes with the flow a little bit more. Or is Nikki seems to be able to see more people's sides when it comes to things. Like, she can see where her mom is coming from and she can see where Paris is coming from, whereas Paris and Kathy are more like, they more see their own side and they have more trouble kind of, you know, bending to others. Paris in a rebellious way, Kathy in a like, I know what's best way, you know? Okay, so I think we're going to wrap up there for this episode. For next episode, I'm going to be talking more about Paris in Love season one and Kathy's part in it and all the kind of interesting parts where Kathy's in it and kind of what they say about her and, you know, what kind of light they can shine on her relationships with her sisters and, you know, with her deceased mom, Big Kathy. And I'm also next episode going to be going into the introductory part of House of Hilton, because in the next part of Paris in Love season one, they do visit the Waldorf Astoria in New York, which is where they lived for 9 years. This is where, you know, a lot of mischief was gotten into by Nikki and Paris. And, you know, there's a big chunk of House of Hilton introduction where they talk about, you know, the hotel staff's opinion and viewpoint of Paris and Nikki running around at the hotel and their viewpoint of the way that Kathy was parenting and mothering these two girls at this time, and how all this really ended up leading to, you know, Paris being taken away to that boarding school where she was abused for a time. Okay, everyone. So thank you so much for joining me. I hope you enjoyed the, not the first part of the Richard Sisters deep dives, but the first Kathy part. Can't wait to talk to you more about this next week. I do recommend you watch Paris in Love because I think it'll just make it more fun to listen to. But even if you don't, hope you enjoyed and see you all next week. Thanks so much for your support. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me. And this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox, and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/BravoandBotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.